Maybe just go into Japan.
Bro, you should see me when I'm in fucking Akihabara. Fucking, I'm double fisting Coke bottles and just throwing them.
Going to shrines.
I was like fucking. I look like Steve Austin on the fucking bridge over there. And fucking Akihabara, just oh yeah.
It, folks. Hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. You heard it here first. Fire Punch is incel core.
Fire Punch is incel core. The greatest breakup battle shonen of all time.
So it is good, right?
Oh, I gave it like an 8. I actually came across, I was looking at videos and stuff, and like all the videos I saw were like kind of bad.
That tracks. Shonen,
I say
Jump
bad. they're fine. They're like okay. Standard. Just like this is what happens in Fire Punch, and blah, 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 blah. And you're just like okay. Whatever. And then some of them go into like some detail stuff. It was very weird how religious it was. I was
interesting.
Like, and I don't know if he actually like read up on some of this stuff because like there's a big there's a part in the manga. Where it deals with cannibalism, okay. And it directly ties the cannibalism into this new religion that's springing up.
Okay,
where I guess mild spoilers for about like 30 chapters in or so, they start this religion around the Fire Punch guy, and he's like trying to help these people, and to help them, he has regeneration powers, and so he's basically cutting off parts of his body. I don't want to get into detail about it, but like he cuts off these.
Is he like feeding people?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very Christ-like.
It's weird because like they actually address it as like straight cannibalism, and then people are like freaked out by it and stuff. And I don't know if he actually like read into like the early church shit where they were very. It was a very big deal where like Christians were called cannibals by like the Romans and shit because they were teaching this the Eucharist and trans. They didn't have the word for it back then, but
right.
It was just
transmigration was, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was curious if he actually like read up on this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to have read up on it in some capacity because he names one of the characters Judah.
Okay. Well then, yeah.
But like they don't go super deep into it. I mean, obviously like they are challenging religion in some capacity.
It's not like an angel's egg though, where they're just directly like dropping like biblical like stories.
No, I mean, it's not like, yeah, they're not referencing the flood or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. It could also be like a Japanese new religion kind of thing, like all those like cults and stuff. Everyone claiming to be, you know, the brother of a reincarnation of Jesus and stuff playing into that.
I don't think it's like directly doing something like that specific, but it is like,
yeah,
it is very obviously commentating. Like they straight up just start talking about like. There used to be religions back in the day that worshipped cows, and Jews used to not shave their face because you could nick yourself and cause a spread of HIV and stuff like that.
Get an infection, yeah.
Yeah.
So
they directly talk about religion. It's just... I don't know how much he read into it.
Would you say you like it more than Chainsaw Man? At least what you've seen of Chainsaw? I guess, oh shit, yeah. The fucking Chainsaw Man
movie's
coming out this week. Okay.
But like I don't know how much that means anything because like this is shorter than part one of Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, and
I've only seen the anime,
and like, obviously you can't really compare this to look back in any sensical. I guess maybe somewhat, but
I can compare it in a sense of like he's very much in both of these works as far as like.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, the ethos, whatever he's like going on,
yeah,
very much in both this and Look Back. Now they are very drastically different.
Okay. Yes.
No, she's not like but literally on fire all
right.
the time.
I can see what you mean though in terms of like his like personality and style still coming through. I guess now we both should probably. like read, because I have Goodbye Airy. I've had it for like a year now. I've just not gotten around to reading it. We should probably sit down and read that and then do, like do an episode.
I'm more tempted to now. I wasn't tempted with like after Chainsaw Man because like I didn't really get enough of a taste. I'm like, I like this.
Yeah.
But like it's 12 episodes.
So it's an anime adaptation. So it's like harder to get like Fujimoto's. And then
I read Look Back. I'm like, oh, I like this, but I'm also.
Yeah.
Like I also liked it because of the movie mainly, I guess.
Right.
But like after reading this, I'm like, okay, I might go read more of his stuff because like it feels like Fujimoto is like of the most high profile mangaka right now in Shonen. Mm-hmm. He feels like he's like by far and away the best right now.
He's very idiosyncratic. He has like the vibe of like a fucking weird, like Yoko Taro, someone who's just fucking weird, but still has like mainstream appeal.
Yeah. Or at least he's got like an editor that has like been able to, cause I don't know. He's like the ideas he has are very striking, right? Mm-hmm. Like the setting of a guy that is just constantly burning it on fire. And then like a fucking Iceland is very striking imagery.
Right. Yeah, I've played Mario Galaxy. I know what you're talking about.
Played Mario Galaxy. A guy with a chainsaw head named Chainsaw Man is very striking.
Very, very something. It's very like something that you'd see drawn in like a middle schooler's notebook.
But he does it the way Fire Punch is like so raw and unrefined in mm-hmm. a way I think that complements it, honestly, mm-hmm. because like it is so like disjointed feeling. And like you're bouncing from idea to idea that it gives you this sense of like displacement and like not delusion. You oscillate so much that it's just like it confuses you. It's like you kind of get like into the shoes of the characters because they are going through some psyche fucking disintegration going on.
Okay.
But it does it in a way that I'm like, I really, the more I'm like, I think about it and the more I sit with it and the more I talk about it, the more I think I like it.
Okay. But yeah, in terms of like his contemporaries, like, I mean, you look at like the author of Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer has been over for quite some time now. When did Demon Slayer like finally end? It was a few years ago, I think. Yeah, 2020. It's been like 5 years now, and I don't know if we've seen anything from that mangaka since that is not just Demon Slayer related. Same thing with like Attack on Titan has been over for a while now. I don't think we've seen anything from Isayama, and it's like I feel like we talked about this when we had FD Signifier on in terms of you have these mangaka who dedicate years, sometimes upwards of a decade to their life to telling this one story. And then it's like, well, what do they do after that? It feels very like it'd be very difficult to like follow that up. And it feels like very few mangaka manage to do that. Even if they have like a big success, like successful story that goes on for a while, they kind of successful for, you know, years and years over a decade. They kind of are also like a one hit wonder in that regard. Whereas someone like Fujimoto has been able to like on top of having big series like Fire Punch and Chainsaw Man is also doing these like weird character drama one shots and stuff. Just throwing stuff out there on occasion, like a one for them, one for me kind of arrangement.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I think that's like an interesting way for a creator to kind of like go about putting out their work.
I think Zen in our server was talking about, mm-hmm. he's like, this is a manga that the best thing I can say about it is I didn't drop it, but I don't want to talk about it. Because I don't know if I understood it. And mm-hmm. I think that makes sense because of the duality of the series. Because like there are very obvious analogs to things, Yeah. And then there's like secondary analogs that kind of take over midway and bleed into the next obvious analog, where you then start doubting like, oh, maybe that wasn't what I was thinking it was. And mm-hmm. so it then kind of like confuses you in that sense. But like, if you're looking at it just from like an artistic, like dissection kaleidoscope sense, mm-hmm. I don't think I had much of a problem like understanding it. I think when I'm talking to people about it, because I've only just read it like last night.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
so when I talk to people about it, yeah. they're probably like thinking like, what the fuck is this schizo? Cause it's just like, oh, this is like reflecting like these aspects of life. Like he's going through different stages of his life. Like you don't remember who you were when you were like 7 years old. And it's like, what does this have to do with a guy punching people with fucking fire? Like, that's not what happened in the story. And I'm like, no, that's what the story is about, I swear.
It's like, yeah, I guess connecting these disparate ideas that in like an emotional or like in a way that's kind of like hard to put into words, they connect. But when you actually try and like sit down and explain it to someone, you sound like you're losing your mind.
I feel like it happens to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Apocalypse Hotel, I'm like, oh no, this is actually about like immigration. And it's like, what? Oh, Shibata Tree is actually about COVID. Like, what is wrong with you?
What's so I guess we've been watching, we started the new season. We started the fall 2025 season. And I guess before we get into it, what are your overall thoughts on this season?
I'm glad it kind of sucks because I need to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
I have a breather season.
I was looking at like my top anime for the year though. And it's weird because I think all of my top 10 are basically for the year, like 8 out of 10s. And I guarantee you someone's hearing that and being like, what do you mean? You're only 8 out of 10. What about 9 and 10? Oh, shut the fuck up.
Oh, they would hate mine.
Oh, yeah.
1 8 out of 10.
but I was like, man, there's been a lot of great anime that's come out this year. But it doesn't really feel like it's been a great year as much as it the spring and summer seasons.
Been a great year.
Well, but it's like it's all been very concentrated in just two seasons. Because like winter season had Metalist, but it also didn't like it wasn't a ton that like blew my mind outside of that. And then spring season, summer season really strong. And then this season's kind of more. So it feels like those two seasons are just doing a lot of the heavy lifting for the year.
I think it's like you had the heavier hitters, like the ones that are going to be on the top of the list in those two seasons. Like obviously City Animation looks very good.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Hotel behind that, even like Motto, Takapi,
G-Cux
or whatever. Right. Don. But like for we've talked about this, like how I quantify like what is a good year is generally just like how many good shows there are.
Yeah.
Like, because you can get a year where like the top five anime are like 9 out of 10s or something. It's like, wow, those were fucking amazing. And then like, everything else is garbage.
Yeah.
And I would not call that a good year.
No.
Even though there were like five really, really good shows.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas like this year, there's at least like 40 anime that I would probably rate a 7 or above, which is pretty damn good, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. But I was just kind of thinking, though, it's like, yeah, it's just those two seasons, it feels like. Because this season's also just kind of like, I mean, there's some good stuff this season that we'll get to talking about. But maybe it's just the feeling that we've been spoiled the last two seasons with some really great stuff. That
I think it's more that like there's just not a sleeper hit that like came at us like an Apocalypse Hotel.
Yeah.
Even like a Mono or a Takapi.
Yeah.
Takapi's not really a sleeper hit, I don't guess. But
nah, I guess that one had like a fair amount of like hype around it. I guess it's the other thing, though, is like looking at the year. It's like, I mean, not a ton of super like crazy. Like a lot of like my favorite anime of the year have just been like adaptations. I mean, obviously Apocalypse Hotel would be like the big one for original anime. But outside of that, it's like, yeah, Food for the Soul. And off the top of my head, let me look at my list now, because I want to see like what are like the original anime that like I really liked that came out this year. So what do? I go to Anilist.
Original year. Anime?
Yeah, original anime. Let me see. Oh, of course, Lazarus. To Be Hero X was cool. Momentary Lily, Sorrow Utility, Turkey. Okay, there's been some like My Boshi Witches. Some good, interesting originals. Oh yeah, Zenshu.
I'm Zenshu's strongest soldier. It unfortunately is not in my top 10 right now.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I think if we go back to like when we were talking about the winter season, I think you said like, you probably said something to the effect of like Zenshu will most likely be in your top 10 for the year, right?
Probably something to that effect. Like, if it is not in my top 10, I think that's a good year. I probably would have anticipated it would be in my top 10. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it slid out is a good thing.
Yeah.
Not that like Zenshu is bad, though people would probably disagree with me and say it is, but it's more like there's just so many things that have come out that were better than I'm like, damn.
I guess on the topic of Fujimoto, we are getting like that anime adaptation of like his like early works, his like shorter early works. What is it? Tatsuki Fujimoto, 17 through 26. Stories created by Tatsuki Fujimoto between the ages of 17 and 26. So that'll be interesting to check out. It's like 8 episodes. Each one is adapting a different thing. So one of these episodes is called Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome.
Woke?
I saw one thing. I forget who it was. I think it may have been like Tucker Carlson and someone else. I forget what they were talking about, but they were like, you know, woke. And what do you do when you in the morning? You know, you wake up woke. Morning, Lucifer Morningstar, you know, and he's like trying to make this connection. I'm like, that is the most stupid thing I think I have ever heard in my life.
I mean, it really is not. You don't have to go through, like, all you got to do is just be like, they're trying to say, like, you're woke. You see past the illusions of the world or whatever. You know who else did that? The Gnostics.
I don't know if there's like, I think you're overestimating how many like your average American evangelical probably does not know what a Gnostic is.
Oh God. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, you're probably like, Gnostic, what the fuck are you talking about? Demiurge, isn't that an actress? Wasn't she dating Ashton Kutcher? Demi Lovato? Demi Moore? Demi Earth? But I did watch the first episode of Shumatsu Touring, and I was like, oh yeah, this is very Mumi coded. I guess now it's no longer magical girl anime, it's post-apocalyptic anime that I associate with you.
Just wait for the magical girl stuff to come back into vogue. Everyone will be like, this is Mumi code.
Or this is going to become a magical girl series, which then it's like, holy fucking shit.
Read my blog?
Did you write this? Are you actually a Japanese person this whole time? But I knew you would like this show from like the first scene. Where that just guitar comes in, I'm like, that kind of sounds like The Pillows. It's not, but it has like a similar tone to it, and just like the overall like kind of
guitar.
Yeah, and just like the overall presentation, where there's not a ton of dialogue, is just, you know, giving you these like shots of like the cityscapes or like, you know, stuff that's like run down and stuff. I was like, this is very nice.
They got not Renge riding bitch on the motorcycle.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that saw that. I was like, wait a minute, I've seen this kind of character before.
It's literally just Renge.
Yeah. Is it the same voice like actress too?
Separation.
Hold on. Let me see. Let me type in Shumatsu. All she needs is like a little
quarter.
Is it not? Okay.
Because I haven't seen her. She is Riko.
Okay.
Main Abyss.
Okay. I'm curious to see what this, because like, we obviously we've seen, like, you know, we had stuff like Apocalypse Hotel, Shumatsu Train last year, and then a few years ago, Girls Last Tour, things that are like this, probably even draw comparisons. Like, I was thinking of like Kino no Tabi a little bit. And I'm curious to see.
I feel like you will feel that more with the second episode that you have not seen.
Please tell me, does the bike start talking?
No.
Okay. But yeah, I feel like this marries the two things that you really seem to like, especially recently, which is post-apocalypse and just riding around on your bike and just kind of like vibing out.
I don't know where the bike part came from.
Didn't you like that Super Cub show?
I thought that was okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big bike. You were close. Like, there is a second thing that I've been talking about a lot that I almost kind of am thinking about making a video on, which is photography, which is an aspect of the show.
That is also true. Yeah, I guess photography and also like just tourism, because what was that, like Zatsutabi?
The tourism.
Yeah.
Mumi, famed tourist.
Mumi loves tourism, just going around and, you know, leaving trash everywhere. You know, doing Mumi just going to Japan.
Bro, you should see me when I'm in fucking Akihabara. Fucking, I'm double fisting Coke bottles and just throwing them.
Going to shrines.
I look like Steve Austin on the fucking bridge over there. Fucking Akihabara, just, oh yeah.
And just sitting on the train, legs splayed as wide as possible, taking up as much space as you humanly can.
I don't need the fucking glass shatter sound effect. I just shatter the glass myself through the fucking train door.
Just doing pull-ups on like Tory gates and stuff, being like, "Show me how many fucking reps I can fucking do."
Crazy how you can just get away with playing fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme for 24 hours a day on your backpack.
I heard that Japan is actually now allowing tourists to murder Japanese citizens now. I think that's like a thing that like they're making legal, I guess. So that'll be fun, you know, just go.
Why did we get the fucking murder visa before the fucking pregnancy visa?
just like the good old days in the 40s during American occupation, being able to hunt Japanese citizens for sport.
hates the American family. They don't want us to fucking impregnate the Japanese.
Listen, the boys stationed over in Okinawa are doing them a valuable service.
Oh my god, this podcast took a dark
turn. I'm gonna censor that one. I think, wait, what the fuck was the time stamp? We're 42 minutes in. Oh, Jesus Christ. We've talked about one show so far. I mean, it's not really a ton. I feel super motivated to talk about this season. There are a few shows, but
you should. I feel like it sucks because, like, you haven't seen the second episode, which was really fucking. That's the one I would talk about the most because it's like, oh, fuck. We're getting into vignettes. The third episode was like, okay. I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of more of an extent. I feel like if they alternate between, like, stuff like the second episode and stuff like the third and first episode, I think it'll be good.
Okay.
If that second episode is like a one-off, it's going to be kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they had a really strong vignette going on in this one little episode. And if they're able to do that kind of stuff like repeatedly through the series, this could be in my top 10 of the year. I can't say I would anticipate it being higher than... I would not anticipate being higher than Takopi
or Mono. Okay. We shall see. I mean, the first episode I thought was very promising. I like a lot of what it's like, you know, doing so far in terms of like the direction. I like the tone of it. I don't know, does the second episode just get really grimdark?
No, actually, okay. It's the reverse.
Okay.
It gets really silly and really sad.
Okay. I like silly sad stuff, and we've already had that kind of like very melancholic contemplative tone with stuff like a Girl's Last Tour. So I'm curious to see this doing, and not to say the Girl's Last Tour can also be very fun, but it's a lot darker of a world, to say the least. And I'm curious to see how this show kind of like handles that, because you could take like this, the post-apocalypse, in so many, we've seen it take it in so many directions in recent years. I mean, just look at
Shimatsu Train,
Shimatsu Train, Zom 100. There's a lot of different things you can do with it. So I'm curious to see what it does. Have you seen any of the mangaka's previous work?
I didn't know.
Can you just go pull up the mangaka's like analyst page real quick? I want to get your like live reaction to this.
Buddy Complex, Robotics Notes. I'm pretty sure she's masturbating, but I can't tell because there's white blocks everywhere.
There's white spots everywhere. What are these spots doing here? Get them the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and it started with Captain Tsubasa and sexy commando stuff.
Yeah, they did a lot of like hentai beforehand.
What a character arc.
I can kind of see it a little bit in the character design. The character designs are very nice. I really like the character designs.
They're all right. I mean, I don't dislike them, but they're not like stand out, especially in the anime. Maybe in the manga, they have a different feel to them because it's like different coloring.
Yeah.
But on a transition to anime, it's like, seems a bit more, I don't want to say generic. It's kind of how I feel, but I feel like saying that has a different implication.
I feel like they feel more nostalgic to me. I feel like there's more like the character designs that we would see from like a show from like the 2010s rather than the 2020s, if that makes any sense.
It does. I feel like that could be a problem of like me being disconnected in the sense of like the 2010s does not feel that long ago. I feel like
2015 was 10 years ago. We're almost coming off the 10-year anniversary of Harambe's death. That's going to be next year, well, Momi.
Nanamiori is 12 years old at this point, but it just does not feel that old to me. Granted, it probably helps that they just had the last season, like 2021.
Yeah, was that like the last season, or is there going to be more?
Seems like it's going to be the last season, but I guess they could do more. Maybe if they wanted to.
Would you say that's your favorite show of the season so far, then?
Shimatsu Touring, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
I mean, my second... there's not, like, a lot of competition in the sense of, like...
No.
I feel like last season you had, like, City Animation was, like, an 8 out of 10. And then, like, you had, like, some fucking crazy stuff like Takopi, fucking Donadon season 2, My Dress of Donadon season 2, Summer Hikaru died. Yeah. It's like, whoa, there's a lot going on here. Whereas I feel like this season, like they're all kind of more comfortable in like the 10 to 15 range. It feels like we don't need to be in the top 10, top 5. We're good really
doing crazy doing what gang we're doing here. So far, there's some stuff that's cute. Yeah. Like Yano-kun, something to watch. I need to catch up on Yano-kun. I only watched the first episode, but I thought that was cute. I think we'll continue watching.
I didn't care about Yano-kun.
Oh, well, I guess you can go kill yourself. Fuck you. Fuck you. I know. There's another post-apocalyptic show airing this season. How could I forget?
Oh, yeah. The anime original. Toei Yoguru.
That's just Yogure. Beyond the end of the world.
Yogure.
What the fuck are you doing?
Towa no Yogure.
Stop that. Do not speak Japanese ever again. I am now
Towa no Yogure.
There we go. That's much better. That's how Americans should speak Japanese. Okay, like
so. Which
like
one of them? Pitt. Which one of these characters is Toa? And where's her yogurt? Why can't she get yogurt? Fucking
this sucks. This show is interesting. I don't know what the fuck it's doing. Because we watched the first episode and we were. I'm gonna be honest. Not the first episode. Episode zero. I was really bored up until like the last 30 seconds of the episode, basically. I was like, yeah.
PA works. We got to stop meeting like this.
Yeah. Stop fucking shooting people.
Stop fucking pulling out a gun.
I'm just like,
what are you doing?
All right. So it's just these fuckers just going about their lives. Oh, she's developing AI or something. I don't care. Oh, my God. This went from 0 to 100 real fast.
Should have had the fucking maid from Akiba Maid War just go, ah! Just blasted.
And now it's gone off in a completely different direction, I guess. And I'm curious because it's like, I don't really want to spoil it because it's kind of fun to watch just going in blind. But where the show goes after that episode 0 is... I feel like we have to watch it just because it's original. Even if it ends up being shit, it'll be. Yeah,
don't take our recommendation as a mark of its quality. It is not a good show. I don't think it's a bad show.
It's hard to say. It's hard to really pin it down so far because I feel like it just keeps changing.
It's not well written. Let's put it that way. It's not like. I'm not like watching it because I'm like, wow, this is actually really engaging and cool and interesting. It's more like a train wreck. And it's like, this is really dumb. I want to see what happens next.
I feel like it's like kind of like self-aware and how dumb it is.
Oh, yeah, no, it definitely is. It's definitely so self-aware.
So I'm curious to see what it ends up doing with that because it'll either step away from that and then maybe hopefully do stuff that's like interesting in other ways, or it'll just lean full into that and I don't know, become like Army of Darkness or some shit.
It just becomes fucking Ash.
That's kind of what I want. I want anime Army of Darkness, and I feel like, you know, go back to Fujimoto, I feel like the only one who understands Army of Darkness is him. I feel like he watched Evil Dead 2 and that was a transcendent experience for him.
Fujimoto, you should read Fire Punch.
I guess I should. What else are we watching this? Oh, we have new Digimon. New Digimon is fun.
New Digimon is fun. Beat Break. It's probably my least favorite of the most recent three.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent three being Digimon Adventure colon 2020 remake.
Oh, God. You're telling me that wasn't shit? That sounds like it would be shit.
No.
Shit out of a colon there. Okay.
Yeah, no, they just put a colon in there.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know. I don't really know what that represents, but
it's a bulleted list that's coming after it. So all of these are like part of a bulleted list.
And then Ghost Game, which is actually really fun.
It's like, okay.
I mean, we talked about it, I think, in the pod. It's
yeah.
Digimon meets Gegege no Kitaro. That's all you need to know.
Okay. And now we have cops, they're police, they're vigil, no, they're not, they're bounty hunters. It's Digimon meets Dog the Bounty Hunter.
For the five of you that listen that actually know anything about fucking Digimon, it's like Savers but edgier.
It is kind of Toma. Interesting to like, because I've not really seen Digimon, like any Digimon series. Like I've seen the original movie. That was like Hosoda that directed that too, right?
The original movie?
Yeah, it was like a 20-30 minute like short film.
Did he direct the original OVA?
I think.
So the thing about the Digimon movie is it's like three OVAs combined into one movie.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the fucking like four kids really. I'm talking about like,
well, so technically the first movie is like from Tamers. It's like about a fucking train or something.
Let me see.
But if you're talking about the OVA, I actually don't know if Hosoda directed the first one and the second.
I think like Our War Game. I think so.
Well, that's the second. The first OVA.
This is now horribly confusing. Yes, yeah. he directed Digimon Adventure, a movie, and then Our War Game. Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the two pieces of Digimon media that I've like seen as an adult. I like watching the TV show as a kid, but I have like very fleeting memories of it. But watching this Breakbeat, what the fuck is it called again? I would have fucked that name up all season. Beat Break. I'm like, this definitely does not feel like the Digimon I remembered as a kid. It definitely has a different vibe to it, to say the least.
I mean, Digimon was always kind of the edgier version. Like, it never...
Sure.
It kind of appealed to children, but it was also... Like, even Adventure is, like, the most child-friendly that yeah. Digimon is. Even it's, like, edgier. Like, it deals with, you know, Matt having depression or whatever.
Right, right. I just mean so more so in terms of, like, Digimon Adventure is an adventure. Like, these kids get sucked into, like, this fantastical computer world, whereas this is more almost noirish, I'd say.
Yeah, they've... Since Digimon Adventure, the remake, they've taken Digimon, like, this interesting direction where there is a digital world. They haven't shown it in Beat Break yet, but there is a digital world.
Don't we see a little bit of like a little bit of it in like the start of the first episode?
I don't remember that.
Remember like
oh, yeah, because I think like he like travels. Okay.
Yeah. So we've seen a little bit of it, kind of.
Little bit. There is a digital world, but like they are also interfacing in it is like augmented reality as well.
Yeah.
But that augmented reality then like blurs the line of like what is real and not.
And it's like it got this AI that's powered by human soul emotion, I guess. It's very unclear. What's it called again? It's not called E-Soul. That's the guy from 2B Hero X.
E-Soul?
Your vibes? I don't know. Some vibe. Sort of life E-pulse. Force from people. E-Pulse. Yeah. Which has that been like a concept in previous Digimon entries?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's just new to this.
But right. Well, no. Well,
I feel like there could be like a Digimon fucking super fan that's like, I'm actually.
Please correct us. I'd love to know more. But yeah, I'm curious to see. I'm enjoying it so far. It looks pretty good. Remember when Toei? I feel like there was a period in time, like the 2010s. I think it was probably around like the start of like Dragon Ball Super, where Toei was kind of associated with, we'll say, less than stellar animation. Outside of, I guess, maybe Precure. And I feel like in recent years, that's really turned around. Because now it's like feels like every week people are anytime a new episode of One Piece comes out, everyone's fucking creaming their pants at some really over the top animation sequence that gives me a migraine.
Ghost Game generally looked really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like super well animated all the damn time or anything.
But, sure. I mean, these are like 50 episode series. Kind of gotta watch it with 62, that in mind.
62.
Oh my goodness 67. Gracious!
Yeah, they're like long as shit.
Yeah. Wow.
I would recommend all of Digimon.
Yeah.
I haven't really watched Cross Wars or Savers. I watched a little bit of Savers, but I was like, this is not me. This is not my thing.
What about the Try movies? How are those?
I've not actually seen those. Those like they're like nostalgia baity kind of stuff. So I'm just okay. I don't know if I want to engage with it because mm-hmm. like I don't really care about nostalgia.
I've heard mixed opinions about them.
It's one of those things where it's like, because it's like a sequel to the TV series.
Yes,
but I think it's also like a prequel. No, it's a sequel. I was thinking maybe it might have taken place in something like a weird. You know, I guess it is technically a prequel to the end of Digimon Adventure 2. Okay. It's like them in high school or just about to graduate or something, but I don't know. It didn't interest me.
Yeah. I guess Digimon Ghost Game. Ghost.
They
Ghost Friends. Here's our transition. Let's talk about Shabake. Ghost kid detective thing. I don't know what the show's about, if I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of different ideas, and I'm curious to see how they like tie together.
I thought it was going to be like a slice of like kind of more like Natsume Jinsho or something.
Yeah.
But it's apparently going more the mystery route.
Mystery conspiracy route. So I guess the premise is like it takes place in Edo period Japan, I think. I don't think they give like a specific date. This kid is like sickly and he's like the heir to this is it a trading company? I don't know if they've really defined what his family's company
does. Like a pharmacy or like a wholesale drug supplier.
Yeah. So he's like the heir to this like massive enterprise that his family has.
I don't know if it's massive. Maybe it's massive for like the Edo period.
Yeah, well sure. But he's also like very sickly, and as a result of that, his dad just gives him like two ghost friends basically to watch over him.
No, they're spirits.
Right.
The Inari god of the air, because like he's blessed by the Inari god. So his dad doesn't give it to him. They're given to him by the fox god in the area.
Oh, yeah. But his dad introduces them.
Yeah. That's true.
And what there's like, he's like an Inogami. And what's the other one? Do you remember?
No.
I don't know. He has a lot of spirit friends that he just kind of hangs out with. He seems to have more spirit friends than real friends.
And Inugami.
Yeah. Because there's also the girl as well. And just, you know, he's out one night, first episode. He's out one night. And suddenly he's just being chased by like a fucking murderer or something. Manages to escape and then just stumbles upon a dead body. And it seems where the show is going is that there's some broader conspiracy that is going to be unraveled over the course of the show, and I'm curious to see if this is the case, then how that conspiracy is going to tie all of these disparate elements together, because it has something to do with like the shrine and the ship and like the family company and all this stuff. Probably like local politics will tie in as well. So
it did reveal that there was some significance, or seemingly some significance, that he was killed in front of a specific shrine.
Yeah. The murdered guy he comes across, was killed in front of the shrine, and I guess had his head cut off or something. Cut off after he finds the body, yeah. So
someone found the body after him and then just cut his head off for some reason.
Or the killer came back and cut he killed the guy, saw the kid was coming, and then just fucked off for some reason, and then came back and cut his head off. I don't know. It's definitely more of like a slow burn mystery, and looking at the source material, it's not particularly long. So I think this like single core will basically adapt the whole story.
It is a novel.
So we'll get like a nice, like perfectly packaged experience this season, with this kind of like slow burn mystery. I think it'll be fun. It looks pretty good. I like the characters so far. Main character is very like, this is like a kid. He's just like a kid, and you're like, oh no.
I'm enjoying. That's like my second or third favorite anime this season.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like what I'm enjoying the most this season, we've got obviously Shumatsu Train. Need to watch the first episode. Shumatsu Train? No, not Shumatsu Train. God fucking damn. Shumatsu Touring. God damn it. And then I need to watch the first episode. How is Sanda, by the way?
It's...
I watched a bit of the first episode, and it feels very shonen-y.
I don't hate it.
It looks good from what I've seen. It definitely has the Beastars art style, which is interesting to see that in 2D now instead of 3D. The artist Paku, I can't remember her full name. I think like Paku something. Paku Itagaki.
Itagaki. Isn't she the daughter of the guy who writes Baki?
Yes, she is the daughter of the mangaka of Baki, which is very funny to think about. They have very different styles, but both are very over the top, to say the least. So it makes kind of sense when you look at it. But it's interesting because, like, obviously we've seen her work for Beastars, and the way like her characters, especially like the faces, are proportioned in Beastars, it kind of makes a lot more sense in that context, because they're like anthropomorphic animals. So you can kind of make things a little bit more extreme. Seeing that applied to like people in the context of anime is weird, where like they have these really massive eyes but then very small like irises, and then like really like lanky proportions. It's cool to see. It's a very distinct art style, but it's also just very interesting to look at that in that context. Have you heard about a recent, like an upcoming manga, by the way?
No.
Let me describe to you the premise of this manga. Let me see, Beastars. What the hell is her name?
All right, you describe it, and I will close my eyes and then try to imagine it.
Okay, so the name. Wait, no, hold on. I tweeted about this. The tweet gives a better explanation. Where the fuck is it? God damn it. Where the fuck did I tweet this shit out? Like, I quote retweeted. There we go.
Twitter too much.
I know. Here we go. A new series from the creator of Beastars. Due to a declining birth rate, pets are being transformed into humanoid members of society.
But I've already truly stopped imagining this.
It's just like, look at the cover. Here, look at the cover art and be like, okay, I understand.
See, if this were a video podcast, that would have been a good bit, because like you said they're turning their pets, and my eyes immediately just shot open. <Yeah. laughs>
No, turning their pets. It reminds me of what was it? The fucking like Kia commercials with the hamsters. that fucking horror. I got into like an hour long ethics debate over that commercial on a Discord call once.
What the fuck?
Being like, is this okay? Is it okay to just forcefully turn animals into people like this? I feel like there's something fucked up here.
Finally, a manga for white women.
I know. I do enjoy. I'm looking at the replies here. He was cooking with Sanda. I don't know what the fuck this is. Bestiality is not a cute look. Did this mangaka ever write a normal story?
Yeah, I don't really know. Back to Sanda, I don't really know what inspired them to write a story about Santa Claus Battle Shonen. What the fuck?
It's weird to watch it because it started airing in October, and it's like we're not even past like Halloween or Thanksgiving yet. I can't get in the Christmas spirit yet.
Better than what Bunny Girl Senpai Santa Claus or something.
Oh, wasn't that a movie or was that a
that was a was series that a it aired like oh. in spring?
Oh no, yeah, that was literally the second
opposite
season.
End of the fucking spectrum for
yeah. So I guess I'll enjoy it more once I get more in the festive spirit. I don't know how you come up with that concept, though, to answer your question.
It's kind of fucking schizo.
Yeah.
It is kind of interesting that they're like adding lore in some sense, where like things start falling around him and he's like, I don't understand why things are falling around me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ah, there must have been some sort of ability that Santa Claus had that no one knew, where if he went into like a bad kid's home, things would fall and wake the kid up, so he would have to hide. He wouldn't be able to give him presents. I'm like, that is,
you know, what this schizo. What I was watching at the first steps, you want to know what it reminded me of? The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen.
Tim Allen will voice him in the dub.
I highly doubt it. I don't think that would make sense, given that Tim Allen is like a 60, 70 year old man and the main character is a teenager. I feel like that would be very out of place. I feel like that make that make sense. All right.
Didn't you ever watch Shaman King? Fucking Manta, that fucking kid. He's like
no
a foot tall and looks like a gremlin, but he had like a fucking old man sounding voice. Yeah, you'd make it work.
I did not watch the original or the new Shaman King. Did he have an old man voice in the dub bit. Or sub?
Wait.
Okay.
The sub,
well,
he
no,
has
I
like,
also know.
The sub, he just has like a standard gremlin sounding voice.
That makes more sense. Let me see. What else are we watching this season? What else do we got? I lost the list. Where the fuck is it? There it is.
My second favorite show this season is that mangaka workplace one.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. That one's just nice to watch. Well, not nice, quote unquote. Some of it's kind of actually hard to watch because it like touches on some not uncomfortable topics, but like, I don't know. It's like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like, it deals a lot with like anxiety surrounding stuff, especially the second episode.
It's like if Bocchi were Chitose in Girlish Number.
Sure, there's your elevator pitch, I guess. But
I pitch for nobody.
But it's like, yeah, mangaka, Yuri, anxiety. I don't know. It's just a nice show to watch, and I like how it's like handling a lot of like the different aspects of being a mangaka, because the main character is the mangaka herself. She has her assistant working behind her. And then there is the editor character as well. And the kind of, it feels almost like there's like an interplay of like constantly like kicking up the affection, where like the assistant really likes the mangaka and the mangaka really likes the editor. Which is kind of fun to watch. I really liked the second episode where we learn a little bit more about the assistant, and we kind of see her achieve some amount of success, and then how she handles that, I thought was very well done and very sad to watch.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like up there for this season. I don't know where it'll come out overall, because what was it? I wasn't very big on Zatsutabi, though I'm enjoying this more.
Oh, I would not compare this to Zatsutabi at all. Oh,
okay.
It was very funny. Like, we watched some of that, and I think someone was like, oh, this is a very Moomincore show.
Yes. I was like, oh, yeah, this is something I could see Moomin would like this as well.
It's like this and Shimatsu Touring. I guess they're somewhat similar. Not really.
I mean, I could see it in terms of just like the demeanor and tone and the kind of comedy and the girls and stuff, because it's like, yeah, stuff like Shimatsu Tutoring, this Mono has a similar vibe with the character dynamic, Food for the Soul as well. You like that kind of I don't know quite how to describe the character dynamic, but they have that kind of group dynamic that I notice you tend to really like.
Yeah. I don't know how you would describe it either.
No, I have no idea.
Shimatsu Touring doesn't really have a group dynamic. They just have
like the two of them. But it's like a very, yeah. I feel like what's key for you is there almost needs to be like a straight man character or someone for like everyone else's like wacky hijinks to play off of. Not necessarily straight man, but like almost like a more deadpan character, I guess. It's hard to like really piece it together. We'll need to workshop this more in order to really figure this out.
What are the dynamics called in stand-up comedy in Japan, where it's like the straight man and
like
the
manzai, I think is that it?
Manzai. Yeah, whatever that is. I don't like that dynamic. I prefer it if it's like toned back,
mm-hmm.
and like,
yeah, manzai.
They kind of can slot into it. And there's not really like a clear, like, oh, this person is the crazy one and this person is the straight-laced one. Yeah. Like in Mono, like, they all were kind of relatively reserved.
It depends on the scenario that they're in. Like,
yeah, like they would be more, I guess obviously like the main character is the most reserved of them, but like they all kind of had, none of them were like over the top where it was like a very clear, like straight man scenario. They all kind of slot into the role.
Well, it's like the white haired girl. She obviously has like a very like, not deadpan personality, but like muted personality, relaxed, cool, whatever you want to say. So she'll like,
she's very high anxiety.
Yeah. But then she'll just like, I don't know, whip out some sick skateboarder moves. It's almost like a Gatmoe thing where it's
you're talking about that one. I thought you were talking about the mangaka.
No. Oh, no. The girl from, what was it, like a film club or something? Where did they recruit her from?
The video. the film video club,
whatever. Film video club, like that kind of thing. I think is like, or the sheep girl in Food for the Soul. She's like trying to break the ice between those two, the main girl and the other girl with anxiety. So she just starts dancing. And it just cuts to their like reactions.
Oh, there's no music.
Yeah, there's no music. She's
awkwardly dancing.
And it just cuts to their reactions of just them stone face. I'm like, that's a Moomycore joke.
Oh, that was 100%. That's my kind of humor.
Yeah,
it's awful.
So that's the best way to describe the appeal that I'm seeing here, kind of with like a Shumatsu touring and a little bit of the mangaka workplace show.
There's been some really good shoujo anime this season.
For once,
we haven't even seen all of them.
We still have to watch furry one.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Now we'll watch first episode tonight. It'll be fine.
But the two that we watched, I've only seen the first episode of The Star Brighter Than the Sun, but it was, I really like the style of that one, which worries me because it was the same thing with like A Sign of Affection, though A Sign of Affection was very much like better written than the first episode than Star Brighter Than the Sun. Not that Star Brighter Than the Sun is like bad, it's just the setup for Sign of Affection was like so layered that like it almost like became immediately obvious what they were going to do with the whole dynamic just from like the first episode and like the small interactions they did.
Yeah.
This is similar in that way, cuz like it is kind of seem obvious, but like it's not necessarily that's because it's super well like layered and well written. It's kind of just obvious, like it's like, oh okay, yeah, this is this kind of character, this is that kind of character,
right? Yeah. And there's a fair amount of setup too in the first episode because it has to like go over all this backstory, and then we finally get to like their dynamic now as third years in middle school, which I'm gonna stand by my point that
they're graduating.
Yeah That guy does not look like a middle schooler.
I mean, he's like 15. Third year middle school is like 15.
I know, but he does not look 15. He looks like he's in his 20s.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing because, like, I would be tempted to say, like, I don't know, people could look at that at 15 all the time. I was like 6 foot at 14, so
right.
That would be, they would draw me as a fucking Jotaro character at like 14. And not even because, like, I fucking have manly features, just because I'm 6 foot fucking tall. They're like, oh my God.
But we need to watch like more of it to like get a better idea of what it's obviously there's like a romance component, but we need to get like a better idea of what it's going for on a broader level.
Yeah. Episode to episode kind of basis.
Yeah.
Where Sign of Affection was like, obviously very much about like connecting and communication and stuff like that. It's not as obvious what the overarching, if it even has an overarching kind of thing like that. But it is very stylish. Like it does look very good. Yeah. I made a tweet about this.
It's not like in terms of like the animation as much as it is like
the
directing and overall presentation,
shot composition. Yeah,
yeah.
I made a tweet about this because I've been watching Hikata-san Gatoru, and it's like the shoujo equivalent of Urusei Yatsura in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where it's just very like wacky. Got that wacky tabacky, got a fucking alien that like just flies into a fucking opera at some one point. And
yeah, you were showing me that. I'm like, that's very silly. That's not something I would expect to see in like a 70s like shoujo adaptation.
I didn't expect to see it either, but I if you had told me, I probably would have been more prejudiced against it going into it. I having seen it in like the context, I welcome it because I'm like, this is a nice, fun, wacky show. Is that the right word?
Bunks? What the fuck are you saying?
I don't know. It bucks. That's what I was looking for. Bucks expectations.
Yeah.
Cause like I was expecting it to be like kind of more like Onisama A or like Rose of Versailles, just based on like the art, that, like,
very like heightened melodrama kind of thing, which is like, I mean, that's like a valid impression to have just looking at like the posters and stuff for the show.
Yeah. And they have moments like that. Mm-hmm. But it is also very self-aware in a way where it's like,
it sounds a lot sillier and like light, like a built more willing to be lighthearted.
Yeah, this here's my pitch, my watch Haikata-san moment.
This isn't even a show from this season.
Not even from this season, from 1978, on my birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, what is that? 20?
No. Oh, I thought you were trying to remember when your birthday was.
16 years before I was born.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's only 1978 does not seem like it'd be only 16 years away from my existence. What the fuck? That's such a weird thought. Anyway.
You are old.
So there's a part where they go on this date to this opera.
Yeah.
And they're like having this argue that like kind of like a disagreement or whatever during the opera. People are like shush shush, you know, like while they're talking, and it eventually gets to the point where they're just yelling and the whole theater can hear them, and then the people that are listening to the orchestra are like, actually, you know what, this is actually kind of more interesting to listen to this tea being spilt than this fucking like opera.
Yeah.
So everyone stops paying attention. The people on stage are then like, I have to gain their attention through my talent. It starts this whole like fucking cascade of events where they are like throwing shit at each other. It is very, very wacky, very fun. If you're not sure that if you would like shoujo stories because it's like too dramatic or whatever, this, I feel like this is a fun, accessible way. I say that it's from 1978, so fucking zoomers aren't gonna like it because it's old, but whatever. But
whatever,
fucking shit. If you don't mind older animation, if you want to try it out, I can't say anything to the movies yet. I haven't seen them, so I can't tell you if they're like a good alternative for this. I don't want to watch them until I finish the 78 version.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, fun show. What were we talking about? A Star Brighter Than the Sun.
Yeah, we were talking about shoujo anime that are out this season.
Very stylish. Yes. It doesn't have the same sense of I feel like shoujo these days is not as daring character design wise. And it's kind of funny to say that because I feel like the 1970s designs became their own like meta, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Rose of Versailles looks like Haikata-san, looks like even fucking Aim for the Ace kind of sort of.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was more room, I don't know, in some ways there was more room for expression. Maybe part of it is just like me being boomer and looking back at like admittedly not like the largest sample size I've like ever but
it also feels like it's really hard, like I feel like we don't really get like a lot of like high quality shoujo like anime adaptations like nowadays, like we're thinking
or
of
really
like,
ever
I mean
you got like some like Rose of Versailles and Glass Mask and
or like Oron High School Host Club, things like that.
There's just not like, yeah, there's not a lot that's on those levels coming out. What is it? I mean, the best one I can think of in recent memory is The Sign of Affection, and wasn't even like that high. It was just more like direction and use of colors was really well done.
Like,
someone that's really into shoujo is like going to murder me because I didn't say Fruits Basket.
Fruits Basket, eh.
Sorry, I did not like the Fruits Basket adaptation.
What about Chihaya Furu? Was that a Jose?
That's Jose.
Still, I mean, that's even more rare. I guess the only other one I can think of off the top of my head would be Rokugo Shinjo was also published in a Jose magazine, right?
Listen, all I'm saying, yeah, it was Jose. Okay. All I'm saying is like, you made a good, great point about debut. What is that fucking in English? Plus Size Misadventures in Love. That's how I fucking hate that title.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were talking about both love. Character designs.
Yeah, the fucking the covers for that. imagine like an adaptation with like that art style, or like a Helter Skelter adaptation that has that fucking style of the covers.
Yeah.
That would go so fucking hard.
That'd
like
be a Helter
Skelter, like fucking Belladonna of Sadness adaptation or something. Like, holy shit. But no, they're very safe designs. This is,
yeah.
Like, all right. I don't hate it. It's not like,
yeah, it's like, not like it, not in terms of like character designs, but it's like the overall aesthetic of the shows.
Yeah,
like
we came in shitting on Debut to Love. I actually really like Debut to Love, surprisingly. Not necessarily production wise, like I don't really like it production wise, but like I do like the concept of it, where it's like very much about body positivity, dealing with like depression and how you just perceive yourself is something that's like really interesting to me. And I fuck with, but it just looks so like generic.
Yeah. Like the visual presentation, like, and again, you compare that to something like a Don to Don or a Sonda, and it's like, yeah, why can't we get a little,
I don't even want to like do that, because that makes it sound like it needs to be like a battle shonen and have like,
well,
that
kind
of,
but in terms of just like the production
style,
yeah,
production, yeah, like it just needs like a sign of affection is like the first episode at least is almost like perfect as far as like demonstrating how they could do this like very stylishly but on a budget. Because that was all about like color direction essentially. And then incorporating like the very kind of muted watercolors, stuff like that. This is like very vibrant and bright and shiny, and not in a good way.
No, it looks kind of just like how anime in general look nowadays, which is fine, but it is more interesting to see stuff that kind of like stands out in weird and interesting ways, I guess. That Witch's Life in Mongolia show that like Science Haru is doing next year, I believe that is an adaptation of a Jose manga. Just given that it's Science Haru, I feel like that's going to have like a really strong sense of presentation to it. I just kind of wish we got like that more.
Yeah. What is there any other shoujo you can think of that have gotten like really strong?
Like recently, here, let me see here. So recently,
like that fucking, not Honey Lemon Soda, but the other one that aired that season about COVID.
Oh God. That one
kind of had a visual style flair to it, but it was like very, very shoujo, like stock shoujo style. Like we're do like,
yeah,
which is, there's nothing wrong with that in like a visual, language sense. It's just, I think that was the only thing it really had going for it stylistically.
Yeah.
I like it in something like a Star Brighter Than the Sun, because it's incorporated into like its own style a bit better. But in something like that, it kind of felt like they just didn't really have anything else going for it. And then they incorporated that element and it's like, okay,
maybe like Banana Fish is like the closest I could maybe think, but that's like 2018. That's a fairly long time ago now. Let me sort by instead release date. Like what has been recent? A lot of some of these are just not shoujo adaptations, so that's also slight problem. I'm not seeing a lot that I remember watching and being like, holy fucking shit. I don't think Kageki Shoujo was a shoujo adaptation. I'm pretty sure that was
same. Oh yeah, that Kikajika, whatever, Kikaijika, whatever the fuck, Mari one, I guess is a shoujo. And also wait is the bludgeoning, whatever the fuck, not bludgeoning,
oh the one, the girl punching stuff,
may I ask for the one final thing or whatever. That's,
I don't know, well I believe it's a light novel original, so I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know how like light novel demographics work. That's kind of foreign to me. But in terms of like manga, Like, here, let me set it to source material manga. And what do we got?
It looks like it was adapted as a manga in Shoujo Magazine.
Okay. But in terms of, like, stuff coming from manga specifically.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, one, again, there's just not that many, like, Shoujo anime adaptations coming out in general. And the ones that do come out, they tend to just look fine.
Dose Koishite, whatever the fuck. My Happy Marriage, is that a good one? People seem to like My Happy Marriage.
My Happy Marriage. Oh, I think I heard good things about that. I don't know about, like, the present. I feel like we watched maybe, like, an episode of that when it came out. Because that was relatively recent, wasn't it?
No. Well, I mean, second season was. I think I don't think we watched the episode of that.
Maybe not. I don't even see it on this list. What the hell? Hold on.
I don't know if I need to watch My Happy Marriage. That'll be on my radar, at least. I do need to watch Oku. And I do need to watch Kimi ni Todoke.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
This is just derailed into a shoujo podcast.
Yeah, this is derailed into just being like, I wish this had better adaptations.
I wish there were better
looking adaptations, I should say.
Yeah. Speaking of an adaptation that has a fucking shit budget, but, like, looks cool as shit. That fucking Kamen Rider anime is so fucking stylish and cool and fun.
I need to watch that one. So it's good.
It is. Yes.
Okay.
Like, it's probably my top five this season. I haven't actually,
like, sat down
and, like, tried. Yeah.
It's a little bit early.
I mean, I usually do it as we're watching it. Like, I usually don't have a problem with that. Like with the first episodes or whatever, I'm like, I dropped this shit or whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. This season hasn't really had anything strong enough to I feel like I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, like this fucking, it's so like. You haven't watched Samurai Flamenco yet, have you?
No, I have not.
It is very much shades of Samurai Flamenco.
Okay.
Except it does not wait 8 episodes
to fly off the rails.
Yeah, I feel like that. I like that better. Like, I feel like Samurai Flamenco set up such expectations where, like, when it does jump the shark in a way, or go under the gorilla, or however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, whatever the idiom should be.
Whenever it does do that, it kind of was like, I was kind of just enjoying my anime kick ass. All right, I guess we're doing this now.
Whereas this just kind of does that off the bat.
This does it like more like soon, like episode 3 is when it kind of was like, okay, we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I don't really have a problem with that. Cause like it didn't really set expectations long enough for me to like, be like, I mean, it's already ridiculous from the beginning. Cause he's like fighting a fucking bear in the forest. Like in the first like 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
He's like, at some point I became strong enough to punch out a bear. And it's like, what? Okay, sure.
Yeah,
but that is very fun and stylish, while also being very economical. We'll mm-hmm. say, I did not expect to like that as much as I have been. I expected that to kind of be more of like another Night of the Living Cat scenario.
Are you guys still watching that in Lexa server?
No, it's done.
Oh, it's done. I thought it was too core for some reason.
No.
Oh, thank God.
It's over.
I guess in a similar vein, there's also that Ninja versus Gokudo show where that is.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That one's extremely limited.
I remember we were watching it. I'm like, is this like David Productions? Like,
no, it's Studio Dean. Like a
director?
As far as I can tell, there's no staff overlap between that and JoJo.
It does feel like it takes very heavily inspiration from like the JoJo adaptations.
Yeah, where it's very limited animation, not as stylized as JoJo.
No,
but definitely has that just comically over the top tone to it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's good.
It's fun. It is fun. It's like it's just like a really like dumb blunt fun to it. Whereas I'm just like, yeah, I want to fucking see ninjas and Yakuza with superpowers fight. That sounds fucking awesome.
What does not sound. What also sounds awesome would have been Sivis, the Sound of Heroes or whatever.
Oh, you mean the new Symphogear here.
The Symphogear,
it's not really. Okay, it kind of is, but isn't. It's about idols with like science fiction powers. To bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, the idols with science fiction powers fighting the monsters.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
I'm enjoying it. I think it's pretty fun. Hey, it's also an original. We have to watch it. All right, we can't.
I don't want to not watch it. It's just, I don't know. The fun parts of like a Symphogear or Macross, like the things I attach myself to are just not in this.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like Kyoko as a character. She reminds me a lot of like Mamimi from Fully Cooly.
Oh, the girl that was playing the guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a good vibe. Like I like her vibe.
Yeah. But there's not, I like, think.
I don't know, the music is not there for me. Like, I do like the acoustic guitar thing they did, but like,
yeah, I mean, I've never really been like partial to the music in a lot of these shows. I'm not really much of a.
I like the music in Symphogear, and I like Walkure's music in Delta.
I'm not a big fan of the music in Symphogear.
Listen, if you don't like fucking Genocide and Genocide, I don't know if we could be friends. Like,
fine, podcast over.